head, but well, everybody if likes, I missed anybody, I would feel
they
awful.
Like to hear their names, you know, on the
we
radio,
do.
Just like when you, well, God bless all the board members. I'm not going to put Debbie on that spot. Maybe next time she comes in, she'll be prepared for that.
See, I'm not one of those preparers like you are.
You're not a prepper.
Yeah, I'm not a prepper. Yeah. I decide I'm coming to your house if...
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're much more prepared than
I mentioned the guns and ammo, right?
No. I don't have any of that in my house either.
Well, it's always fun to have you in the studio, Debbie.
Well, thank
you.
You
do such a great job, and you are such a great face out front for the foundation. Why don't you give us the contact information one more time during this? Yes, Tuesday was the Tuesday of Giving, or Giving Tuesday.
That's correct.
And I'm sure that the foundation will take monetary gifts year round.
Oh,
is that right?
Absolutely.
Not
sure.
Just at Christmas. And as I always say here at WDCR, no gift is too large.
I love that. Oh, no, we can't take that one. That's way too large.
So your phone number again.
464-5590. And I will mention you can purchase a light on the star for any amount.
Oh, okay.
Any amount is accepted and appreciated. So
very good.
We don't want anyone to feel like, oh, you know.
And when do you have those in so they still have time to get their name listed in the program?
The program is next Thursday. And if we could get them all by Monday, okay. So we have time, again, to get the materials produced.
So through the weekend, folks, you can still call in or go to the website and get your light on the star in memory of a loved one or remembrance or even a special intention. For someone who may be ill or needs thoughts and prayers, you know, call Debbie and let's get that star fully lit for the big unveiling next Thursday night.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning. I also want to thank Carla Thornton down there for sitting in with us. We enjoyed talking about the SHARE program this morning. We wish you success and invite you back anytime, too.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies.
Day.
We'll be back on the other side with the gospel preview. Dan's going to let us know what we're going to hear for the first week of Advent in the gospel. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert with Dave Slade and Dan Walker on Decatur Catholic Radio.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
Victory in life, we've got to keep focused on the goal, and the goal is heaven. The key to winning is choosing to do God's will and love others with all you've got. Sacrifice, discipline, and prayer are essential. We gain strength through God's word, and we receive grace from the sacraments. And when we fumble due to sin, and it's going to happen, confession puts us back on the field. So if you haven't been going to Mass weekly, get back in the game. We're saving your seat on the starting bench this Sunday. Welcome home.
In the theme of being a prepper, that's Stay Awake, Be Ready by Chiefington, and I guess some school kids they're playing in that, Stay Awake, Be Ready, which takes us to this week's gospel, which, by the way, talks about being watchful and alert.
And the first week of Advent.
First week of Advent, yeah, preparation for Christmas.
Yep.
So, Dan, why don't you give us this Sunday's reading.
Alrighty. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you,
Lord
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, not find you sleeping. And for us, I think he's saying don't be lukewarm or don't be caught asleep in your faith. In the season of Advent, where we're preparing for the coming of the Lord, is a time for us to sharpen our skills, sharpen our praying skills, sharpen our mass attending skills, go to communion, go to confession, you know, get that soul prepared to receive our Lord at his nativity.
I think it's also about creating, getting back to those good habits. You know, we as the faithful, we get out of sync, whether doing daily prayers, yeah, which I know many Catholics, we do not. Now's a good time to try to, if we don't have those good habits, maybe develop those good habits. Kind of like going out exercising, trying to lose weight. You mm-hmm. haven't worked out in years. And at the very beginning, it's very difficult to force yourself to get up and go work out every day, 5 days a week, week after week. And it's kind of, man, I'll take the day off. And you know it's not good for you. Yeah. And you know the best thing to do is to be disciplined and be faithful. And I think Advent is a way of trying to for us to get back in those good habits of being better practicing Catholics.
Well, you know, Dan, you make a really good point, especially when you talk about spiritual exercising and comparing that to physical exercising. Most of us have trouble getting started with a program when it comes to physical exercise. And after you've been in it for a week or two, you really notice the difference in how you feel. You feel better. You feel more positive. Your brain's working better. You're getting more oxygen. And it's the same way with prayer. Excuse me. You know, we have to start at the beginning. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step and start with just a daily prayer. Whether you wake up in the morning, you just thank God that you woke up. And then take it from there several times during the day. On my dashboard in my car, I have a little holy card of the Divine Mercy. And I use that when I drive because sometimes I get aggravated at other drivers. Does that ever happen to you? But before I lose my temper or flash my brights at them, I look at that Divine Mercy, and it's trained me throughout the day to depend on the Lord for me to be merciful to people. So it helps prep me, so to speak, for those times when I look at another driver and think, how in the world did you ever pass that test? But it gives me the mercy not to judge. Maybe they're going to the hospital. Maybe they have an emergency. You know, I can't tell why they're driving as crazy as they are, or why the guy felt the sudden need to pull right out in front of me and go a half a block and turn.
And in 10 minutes, it's not going to matter.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, but I do that just walking out of church on Sundays. You know, it seems like you have a much better day and much better week.
Yes.
And if I were to miss a Sunday Mass, it seems like you look back on that week and you realize you missed Sunday's Mass, and it seems like the week's a struggle. And if you can get to those daily Masses, your day seems much brighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you learn something at every Mass. You'll hear the gospel, the homily. It's just a good thing. And I think that it's like you said, you start building on that. Until we're following what St. Paul says is pray always. Make every action in your day some sort of prayer. And I think that when the time comes and we're traveling abroad and we need to trust our servants or whatever Jesus is mentioning here in this gospel, that when we find ourselves awake and ready, we're ready for his return. You know, the end of the world's coming. And it may not be the end of everyone's world, but the end of our own world is coming. You know, we're all going to meet Jesus face to face one of these days. And by gosh, I want to be as ready as I can. So this Advent, I'm going to do my work and try to prep, get to some extra Masses and a penance service and read.
You know what? We can do a little challenge out to our listeners.
All right.
All right. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. There are four. There are mm-hmm. four candles.
Yep.
Colors of the candles. Yep. What do they mean? And what does each week of Advent mean? Every week is a little bit special focus up until the last one.
Yeah, they kind of build on each other.
So let's go on the internet, do some searching, and you will be enlightened.
Yeah. And go out and get a set of Advent candles and light them during the week, during your meals, and think about it.
Because many times at church, we don't get really re-educated on each week, you know, because we talk about the gospel and the meaning of the gospel. We really don't talk about this week's Advent and really what we want to focus on. Yeah. It's not the only thing, but it's kind of focuses your direction this week, and then the second week, third week, fourth week. And so that's kind of puts more meaning into the Advent season and helps you prepare for the coming of our Lord.
Well, you know, Dan, I like Advent. You know, it's an anticipation of Christmas coming. What I don't like is that we already start celebrating Christmas a month before Christmas, and then the day Christmas gets here, it's over. At least if you celebrate Advent, then you celebrate the Christmas season. You can make it last till the Epiphany.
Yes,
you know, and
yeah.
Everybody loves the Christmas season because it's a season of sharing and giving and love and the ultimate giving of God the Father, you know, of his Son to us. So it can be really special if we work on it, and that's what Advent is for.
Frame it in the right light.
Amen, brother. All right, I got some community calendar stuff here that I want to share this morning. Our Lady of the Holy Spirit has a youth group, Dan, and I mean this place is on fire. On December 1st, the Our Lady of the Holy Spirit youth groups teamed up with Las Margaritas in Mount Zion and Crave for a fundraiser night. Come out from 5 to 8 and have Mexican food on December 1st, and then go next door for frozen yogurt at the Crave. And both places are donating 15% of their profits to the youth group at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Then on December 10th through the 14th, the Our Lady of the Holy Spirit youth group will be selling tickets for a Nelson's chicken dinner for $10. They pick up the plate at the pickup date for the dinners is in January, between January 24th, and that's still a ways off. We'll talk more about that. But on December 16th, they're having a parents' night out. The activities for the kids will be a movie and special set activities. They all have pizza and drinks. Pre-registration is $12 for a special parents' night out, December 16th. Mandy Hoffman at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit is managing that event. And so if the parents want to go out for an evening, there's a babysitter for all night for $15. I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
A good deal.
Mandy Hoffman can be reached at 864-3467, 864-3467. St. James and Patrick Parish is having an Advent breakfast this Sunday, December 3rd, after the 8:30 Mass at St. James and the 10 o'clock Mass at St. Pat's in the church basement at St. Patrick's. Bacon, eggs, hash browns, juice, rolls, biscuits, gravy, the whole nine yards. It sounds great. That's this Sunday at St. Pat's. Then on December 10th, St. Pat's is holding Advent by candlelight. I think this is the second or third year they've done this. And here's what they've asked us to share. Ladies, would you like to spend an evening with old and new friends in a lovely candlelit atmosphere with fine china, delicious yeah. appetizers, and elegant desserts? Or would you have a dessert you'd like to share? They're going to have Advent by candlelight for women of all ages on Sunday, December 10th at 6:30. The reflection this year will be given by Sister Anna Fury of HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. If you're interested in decorating a table with your fine china and your candles, and it really is a nice event, call Marcia Comerford, 454-7220. If you're interested in providing an appetizer or dessert, call Linda O'Brien, 429-7146. That's Advent by Candlelight on December 10th at 6:30 p.m. Also, the Catholic Charities Resale Shop has sent in a plea to look for volunteers Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon or 1 to 3. That's two-hour shifts to include sorting, hanging, displaying merchandise, and assisting with the cash register during this busy Christmas season. If you'd like to help the Catholic Charities four-season resale shop, call 428-3458, extension 235. They're in the phone book or DecaturCatholicCharities.com. Let's see, I've got Our Lady of Lourdes has the St. Therese Intercessory Prayer Group for Women that meets every Wednesday from 1 to 2:30. 1 to 2:30 Wednesdays. Come and join the prayer group and make a difference by your prayers for the church, our country, and your personal needs. You can call Linda Clark for that, 875-4251. Or you can just stop in any Wednesday from 1 to 2:30 and join the prayer group. The annual 55-plus community-catered Christmas celebration will be Wednesday, December 13th, with 11:30 a.m. Mass. Following that is a light luncheon, entertainment, and hopefully, they say, a Christmas sing-along. You know, sing-alongs are pretty good if you can get
people. Oh, if he do. We used to go Christmas caroling.
Oh, don't you love
that?
In
the neighborhood, the old days. Yeah. Get some hot chocolate, walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah. Since the event's catered, you need to make a reservation for the annual 55-plus community-catered Christmas celebration by calling Our Lady of Lourdes Church at 877-4404. And you need to do that by next Wednesday. Anybody over 55 is welcome. St. Thomas Church is going to have the traditional blessing of the baby Jesus figurines on December 9th at the weekend masses. You can renew this beautiful tradition of blessing the Christ child figurine, and the miniature statues of baby Jesus will be placed in the nativity sets of our family homes. Bring your Christ child from your own nativity to either mass and have it blessed over the weekend of December 9th and 10th. And tomorrow, Dan, is the WAND Toys for Tots campaign at the WAND Studios on Southside Drive. All day long from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can stop by and drop off an unwrapped toy that will be shared with the Salvation Army, and I think the Marine Corps Reserve participate in this.
They've been doing that a number of years.
Yes, they have.
It's successful.
It sure has. So that's what I've got for community calendar. There's a lot of stuff going on as we're moving into the Christmas season. If you have an event you'd like to share with us, please give us a call here at WDCR at 464-1099, 464-1099, or you can leave it on an email at contact@wdcrradio.com, contact@wdcrradio.com. Give us a week or so in advance so that we can squeeze it into our Thursday show, and we'll be happy, very happy to share your events, just like we did with the parishes today, Catholic Charities, and any Catholic organization or good civic community organization that would like to have their events broadcast. So, Dan, what else you got over there today? What's new? Anything?
Nothing new. Just when we are closing prayer, I'd like to do the prayer for all needs as we're getting into coming up in Christmas.
Absolutely.
I think for us to prepare, I think that might be appropriate.
Okay. Did you ever notice, Dan, that people tend to mimic each other?
Mimic each other.
They mimic each other.
Mimic people? Each other?
Yep.
Yep.
Now, I don't mean in a...
I took a long was going to take you.
For example, you know, if somebody yawns on the radio, before long, you'll yawn. You know, if you're on an elevator and you look at the person in the elevator and you put your hand in your pocket, 9 times out of 10, that person will eventually put their hand in their pocket. We look at people and we mimic what other people do. That's just how humans are. And I just read an article, a study done by Michigan State University, about how we mimic our friends, basically, or how our friends really influence us and vice versa. It says we should focus on choosing who we want to spend our time with. Our brain waves start to resemble those of the people we spend the most time with, and this means you start becoming alike and pick up their either desirable or undesirable behaviors. And for a happy life, people should minimize small decision-making. You know, remember the books that came out a few years back that said, don't sweat the small stuff.
Sure.
And underneath it
Absolutely.
Said, it's all small stuff. That's one way to be happy in life, is don't sweat the small stuff. But it says here, you need to be picky about who you spend your time with, because you begin to become like that person. Professor Moran Cerf from Northwestern University says we need to stop wasting our energy making small decisions as to what we want to do or what we want to wear, and really only focus on the decisions that count. Choosing the right friends is important because it causes our brain waves to resemble the people we spend the most time with. Now, maybe that's why couples tend to enjoy going to the same restaurants and doing the same things, because we tend to mimic that of the people that we spend time with. You know, if you spend time with someone that's a happy person, someone who's a go-lucky person, you tend to be a happier, go-lucky person. If we surround ourselves with people that are downers, you know, Debbie Downer, wah, 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 everything's bad and everything's sad, we begin to pick up that same sort of attitude.
Well, you know, that goes back to, we've talked about this, I think, on previous programs, athletic competition and what we call the culture on the bench. You know, you have one or two players that have that negative attitude.
Yeah.
And the whole team fails.
It's infectious, isn't
it? But you have another team where everyone's family, and for some reason that team keeps on winning year after year after year. And I won't talk about baseball, what that team might be.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I won't go there. But, but you know, that there's so much truth to that. But same thing in the workplace.
Yep.
One employee with a bad attitude can bring the whole crew down.
Yeah.
And somehow you've got to – the biggest challenge is try to, again, live in our lives as Christians and try to somehow change their attitude, be more positive. And unfortunately, it's so – as you get older, it's inbred in them. It's hard to get them to change.
Yeah.
And I know I've found that in my workplace throughout my years. You have that person. How can you change that person versus the easy way is just fire them, get rid of them. Are they, will they change? You sit down and talk to them. I mean, it's a challenge.
The study says that the people you hang with actually have an impact on your engagement with reality beyond what you can explain. It says that in order to make life improvements such as reading more or getting better at cooking, they should spend time with someone who has those desirable traits. So, you know, in surrounding ourselves or making ourselves a more desirable person, a more positive person. You know, I play a lot of golf, and I play my best golf when I'm playing with people that are playing well. You get one person in that group that's not playing well, that's stamping around and storming around, again, that becomes infectious.
So it ruins the whole day.
That's right. How do you, our listeners, how do you affect the people around you? Are you a positive light? Are you a positive force? Of course, this ultimately comes down to, are you a positive Christian? You know, are you someone who loves the faith? If someone accused you of being a Catholic today, could you prove it? You know, if somebody came to your house and wanted to know what faith you belong to, could you point to the walls and say, well, there's my crucifix, there's a picture of the Blessed Mother. Up on the wall here in the studio, we have the Annunciation. Could you be convicted of being a Christian? Could your attitude towards others convict you of being a Christian? Can you talk about the faith? You know, can you defend the faith? If you can do that and you can make yourself better at it, the people around you will become better at doing that. You know, our attitudes are so infectious, Dan, it's just amazing. And you see it everywhere you go. I guess the way we can make a difference is consciously improving our attitudes. Try to help the people that have bad attitudes. We all know the naysayers and the ne'er-do-wells and the people that are always having a terrible day. You know, and do you want to spend time with them? No. Should you? Maybe. Maybe you should say some positive things and try to snap them out of it, because maybe our attitudes could be contagious. And the same thing goes when it comes to talking about our faith. You know,
one of the things that I use, and it sounds kind of, I won't say juvenile-ish, but when I'm in those situations of someone negative, complaining, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And if you would just, and try to make that, I try to make that my top-of-mind awareness. Is what would Jesus, how would he handle this? You know, the easy solution is to snap back and degrade the person or handle it in a non-positive way. Yeah. But it's okay, how would Jesus handle this? I said, well, once we think about that, let's work on that a little bit. I think there's a better way. You just frame the response differently, you'd be amazed at how that other person responds.
Yeah, you're right.
And that whole situation changes. So to me, for as far as being preparing and being better Christians.
Well, the bottom line of this study, it says choosing the right friends is important because it causes our brain waves to resemble those of the people we spend the most time with. I think that's pretty amazing. All right, you're on for the final prayer, my friend.
You doing it?
Yep.
Okay. Is the prayer for all needs. We beg you, Lord, to help and defend us. Deliver the oppressed. Pity the insignificant. Raise the fallen. Show yourself to the needy. Heal the sick. Bring back those of your people who have gone astray. Feed the hungry. Lift up the weak. Take off the prisoner's chains. May every nation come to know that you alone are God, that Jesus is your child, that we are your people, the sheep that you pasture. Amen.
Amen. Good prayer. I like that.
That's good. Don't say it.
Well, that's good for good leading into Advent.
Yeah.
Good lead into Advent. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, next week we will not have a show because Relevant Radio is doing their annual or semi-annual, or now I think it's three times a year, fundraiser. And we like to be sure and give them the entire week to raise that money. They kick a portion back to us. Probably not a good way to say that. They send a portion back to us. It's not a kickback. But be generous. And this week, next week, if you give to Relevant Radio, tell them you listen to WDCR here in Decatur, Decatur Catholic Radio. So for Dave and Dan, that's all we got for now. God bless you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
God bless. Have a beautiful day.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears that we will die.